Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with David Teams, and we are looking forward to the second part of the show. We started last week, and now we will continue. Tell us about...
The music thing?
Yeah, the music thing.
Yeah, now this, for me to be a part of this, is another one of those things where, like the Tyndall thing, it kind of popped out of the sky. The voiceover scripture thing popped out of the sky, or the idea that we were invited by Jay Sekulow, the lawyer guy, has a big presence in NRB, too, as a matter of fact, invited New Year's Eve, because John Schlitt is a part of that. And John invited me and to play along. These guys are playing old rock and roll, and I'm an old folky or old country rock, you know, an Eagles guy or bluegrass guy, and I'm sitting there playing guitar with him, but having fun. And out of the blue, you know, somewhere, I just said, Jay, man, if you need an acoustic, because they get together once a week, and I said, if you want an extra acoustic guitar player, you know, let me know. So he invited me back, and so it became a band. You know, Jay plays drums and some guitar. But it's kind of turning into a thing, you know. I brought some things to the table because they're doing this like Styx and Yes and all these old some of these old groups and stuff. Of course, John Schlitt loves it. But I suggested, because Jay wants to reach baby boomers and the 45 and above age group. And so I said, well, why don't we're giving them the rock they grew up with, but why not fill the whole spectrum here? Give them, you know, the Bob Dylans that they grew up with and the Joni Mitchells and that early protest songs, you know. And so I said, what about, you know, Blowing in the Wind, you know. And then I started thinking politically with Jay, how about Good Morning America, How Are You? And he's like, he had to think about it, like, you know, I like that idea. So it's kind of turning into a nice musical production. Baby boomers, I think they're a lot of my audience too, because I happen to be a baby boomer. And I think I've been doing a lot more music in the past year. I was given an old guitar about a year and a half ago, which is another interview altogether. But it's another one of those things that dropped out of the sky.
Yeah.
I have a deep history of this guitar. This guitar was around me as a newborn. It belonged to a lady that they were close friends of ours, and the lady that it originally belonged to, she got the guitar within 2 or 3 weeks of me being born. And it's just a long story, but that guitar has kind of brought music back to me. But I don't know, it's just kind of all coming together in this nice... It's going to be interesting to see what God wants to do with all this, you know? So,
as you look through your life, you see how God has providentially, it feels like he's dropped things.
It does. It's almost like I feel like I'm too dumb.
But the thing of it is, you kind of left the listeners and I hanging about this guitar, and I don't know.
Okay.
So,
well,
yeah, you didn't kind of fit. I know we've run out of time, but I want to hear the rest of
good.
The story, and I can figure out.
Well, it's interesting because the lady that, her and her husband, and they had a daughter at the time. They were just, my dad and him worked together. They were really, really close, and we took vacations together. So within a week or two of me being born, she had this guitar, and she found out that she had a brain tumor.
Mm.
All this was, and so she lived another 5 years. And I don't know what happened. I don't know. I know the husband had told his friends that he may commit suicide if his wife mm-hmm. dies. They were very close. They loved God. It was very, mm-hmm. very, and he didn't do that, but I think he did kind of go wild, you know, mm-hmm. but I have a feeling the guitar was kind of abandoned, you know, mm-hmm. because it was his wife's guitar. It might have been too painful for him to play it or whatever. I borrowed it when I was 8 years old. I played the thing when I just started playing guitar when I was 7, and that guitar was a part of my earliest memory of playing guitar. I could see my fat fingers, little dimples in it, just playing it now. My brother would borrow the guitar for months at a time. And so I grew up with that thing. And for me, she gave the daughter gave it to me about a year and a half ago. And I even told her then, I said, Charlotte, you have a son. Wouldn't you want to give him this guitar? And she said, well, because her dad had this mid-50s Les Paul Gold Top guitar, which for a musician, that's the holy grail of electric guitars. And she said she gave her dad's guitar to her son, and his wife sold it for like $1,000. And it's probably worth anywhere $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. Yeah. So she said, I'm not giving my mother's precious guitar to my son. I'm giving it to somebody that I think my mom would have wanted it to have it. And see, if Wood has memory, that guitar heard my first cries as a newborn.
Yeah.
I mean, and they would go, my parents would go over to their house every Friday night, and a bunch of people would be there and singing. And so I'd be maybe on the floor or whatever, and that guitar would be playing. So we don't remember things when we were newborns, but somewhere deep in those sublayers of my memory is that guitar. Now it's mine.
Yeah.
And when I first got it, it was like almost like a soulmate kind of thing. I began playing for 2, 3, 4, 5. One night from 9 o'clock to 3, I'd play this guitar. So it brought music back to me. So I'm finishing a novel. I don't want to talk too much about it, but I'm doing a novel based on that true story, based on the migration of that guitar from the time it was given as a gift of love to it coming to me. There's no reason I should have it. Talk about something falling out of the sky, because the metaphors that come with it.
Yeah.
It's like God saying, one, David, I know you love the book thing, and you're going to continue to do that. That'll take you into your 80s, your 90s, or whatever. But you're not through here yet with the music thing. And this guitar sounds better today than it did when it was first made. And that's just the way instruments work. Good wood, you know, the tone woods that are put into a guitar, they will. They'll sound better 20, 30, 40, 50, or 60 years later. This guitar is 61 years old, and where have you been all my life? Literally, where have you been all my life? And so it's the story is really coming. Now I'm fictionalizing it, and I'll be able to talk about these things, how music is attached to memory and the relationship she had with the guitar. And as I've talked with the daughter about these things, I'll send her little bits of the book, and she'll say, you know, David, you did not know my mom, but this is exactly the way she thought about this or that. And so me and the daughter both, because she's actually wept with me in a chair. Now, this is so cool. Because I'd continually ask her questions about her mother. Mm-hmm. And I'd stop and say, Charlotte, don't let me cross a line here. I'm just inquisitive as a writer. I want to know everything. You know, the way she'd lift her eyebrows or you know, the way she would breathe, all those very insignificant things. I said, I don't want to cross some line that might hurt you or bring up. She said, I've never been able to talk about my mother. She says my dad wouldn't let me talk about it. My son, who's in his 40s now, he will not let me talk about my mother. He doesn't want to hear about his dead grandmother. And she says, David, you're the only one that's, other than a cousin friend of hers, she says, you're the only one that I've been allowed to talk about this with. And so when she knew that a book was coming together, she said, I can't begin to tell you what this is doing for me. And I'd tell her, says, you can't begin to know what this has done for me. And so it's just this sweet, therapeutic at so many levels. I mean, I would do this book if it was just for her. For the daughter.
I'm having a reaction here, just realizing that, you know, here is a woman's life, but you, not related, are coming along and you're giving her a voice even after she's
exactly
died.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Which reminds each of us of the story and of the gifts that we have to give, and that we won't realize them in our lifetime.
Exactly.
And if we did realize them in our lifetime, our vision was too small.
Well, we're going to have to take a break here, but we'll be right back.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
Did wolves become mean right after sin, or did it take a while?
I believe it took a while. In Eden, there was harmony and peace among all living creatures. Nothing hunted or killed anything else. There was food and habitat for everyone. In other words, the need for being mean didn't exist. Sin changed everything, but not immediately. Even today, we find remnants of God's perfect creative touch in nature, although we may have to do some serious searching to find them. Over the centuries, as habitat and food supplies diminished, and man's attitude toward nature changed, wolves found themselves in a growing battle for survival. They became mean because they needed to be in order to live from day to day. How sad. I'm looking forward to the day when the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. Isaiah 11:6 NIV. Won't that be wonderful?
I'm not a little child, but I'll be happy to lead them anywhere they want to go.
If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Welcome back to Education Currents.
You can't begin to know what this has done for me. And so it's just this sweet, therapeutic at so many levels. I mean, I would do this book if it was just for her.
Well,
just for the daughter.
I'm having a reaction here, just realizing that, you know, here is a woman's life, but you, not related, are coming along, and you're giving her a voice even after she's
exactly
died.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Which reminds each of us of the story and of the gifts that we have to give, and that we won't realize them in our lifetime.
Exactly.
And if we did realize them in our lifetime, our vision was too small.
Right. Yeah. So that's exactly true, and it's I'm going to tell you some interesting things too. This just happened recently. I put up, when I first got the guitar, because I'm starting to do more live things, and I spent like $400 or $500 on a pickup so I can amplify the guitar when I go out and play. And it sounds great, particularly in a smaller room, it sounds really good, but I've noticed in larger rooms, I'll get a lot of feedback until I play with a microphone. If there's a microphone there, mm-hmm. the guitar just sounds more consistent with the microphone. So I've been looking for a microphone for the past 3 or 4 months. Now, little backstory, the lady's name, her daughter's name is Charlotte, but the lady's name is Edna. The original owner, the lady who had this guitar for 5 years, her name was Edna, E-D-N-A. So, tuck that aside. Now, I'm looking for a microphone, and I test a few out. So, I do some YouTube research, and I see some groups there. There's one group called the Milk Carton Kids, and they're two guys. They're kind of like a Chad and Jeremy, Simon and Garfunkel, but they both play old guitars. One guy played, mine's a 1952 Martin. One of those guys plays a 1954 Martin. And I noticed how good his guitar sounded. All he used is that mic. And it was a funky looking mic. Looked like a copper tube and just like something you'd see in a radio station, broadcast mic from 50 years ago. And so I did more research on that mic, and I noticed a lot of acoustic groups using that mic. And there's the same company makes a vocal mic. So I went to the website, and I went to the microphone. I saw they named their microphones with women's names. The vocal mic is called the Edwina. And so I looked at that. And so I went to the guitar mic, the mic that will be playing with this guitar. And you know what the name of that guitar mic is?
The Edna.
The Edna. My mouth dropped open like... And I told Charlotte, and she was the same way. She and I both know that this guitar, there's something mystical about it. There's something about me that's, I say this out of experience. There's, because I know the way God has used me as a creator, or as a craftsman, or whether it be a book or music or whatever. I don't know if there's a kind of openness in my spirit or something that God can do with me or drop something out of the sky, and he trusts me enough that I'll be able to read the metaphors or whatever mm-hmm. that comes with it. He knows me, and that's what the same ability helps me write books, you know. And I just know, I know that I know. Charlotte and I both know that there's something, because there's something bigger with this guitar, because when I first got it, I'd be playing and I'd start hearing sounds that I wasn't playing, the harmonics. Mm-hmm. And it freaked me out a little bit. Like, I'm not even playing that. Where's that coming from? And so now my brother played this guitar. He borrowed this guitar when he was in high school. He was 6 years older than me. So when I was 8 years old, he was in high school. And that was during the 60s playing Kingston Trio. He had a little Kingston Trio group. He borrowed that guitar, had it for months, and played it. And so even when he went to college, he took it to college with him. And we were talking about it one night on the phone. And this is when I first got it. And before I said anything about these extra noises or extra whatever, he said, and this made the hair stand up on my arms. He said, you know, that guitar used to freak me out. He said I would be asleep at night, and he'd have the guitar leaning against the wall out of its case. And he said I'd start hearing harmonics and things come out of it. And as soon as he did, the hair on my arm stood up. You know, and I'm sure there's scientific reasons for that. Mm-hmm. But I do know, because, I've just left the church that we've been going to for quite a few years, and I struggled with that. I'm the one who's out there saying, don't leave your church. Mm-hmm. Stay there. Love where you're appointed to love, and get over the fact that they don't believe the way you do, because none of that means mm-hmm. anything anyway. God is not, he doesn't love me because of what I believe, because half of what I believe is wrong. You know, it's not because of what we believe. It's because he loves us. It's because of who we are. Because there's things I believed 10 years ago that I've altered, yeah. You know, or things that I thought were so mm-hmm. important 20 years ago. I was like, oh, my God, how could I get so bent out of shape on that? But this guitar has helped me in a period. It's kind of helped me to get a prayer life going again in a different kind of way. And so the reason I'm making this book a fiction is I'm able to say things. Just because a book is fiction doesn't mean that it's not true. That's, you know what I'm right. saying? And so I'm able to say things and develop things that may be a little more difficult in the actual story. And Charlotte's totally into that. And even in writing the book, it's like, I've had thoughts, and it's like, you know, like I said, Charlotte would say, you know, you didn't know my mom, but that's exactly the way she thought about things. And so anyway, it's just a night. I'm glad you asked about the guitar.
I come from a family where, you know, going to sleep at night as a child, my dad playing the guitar.
Yeah.
And he has had different instruments throughout his life. And there was a Martin that would pick up on the overtones that necessarily couldn't hear.
Exactly.
And would, you know, start projecting them.
Yeah,
And I think that is a beautiful
Wood has a
thing.
Very good ear.
Yeah.
Old tone wood has an incredible ear.
I also remembered my question from the first part one of our show, and that had to do with God's gift of imagination mm-hmm. and creativity, connecting with that. You know, the church has kind of downplayed that. The conservative Christian church downplays that.
You're right. They
and
have.
Yet, you can almost put faith and imagination as synonymous, because how can we possibly have faith without having imagination?
You can't finish a book without a huge heft of faith. Not just faith in God and those things, but I'm talking about just sure the sheer guts it takes to put yourself alone the way I want to do a book. Because I want to, like the Tyndall book, the second printing, the editor says, well, are there places you want to correct in the book? And there weren't any. When I finished that book, for other than an epigraph and putting an index in it, it was as perfect as I knew how to make it, and because I know the hours I put into it. And it takes an incredible amount of faith. And there's a definite link between faith and imagination. Faith is part imagination. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have the substance of things not seen, the evidence of things hoped for. The things hoped for, the things you imagine. So, and I think you're right. The church does there are circles where they particularly in music, where they allow it. But I finished a novel last year that 27, it's actually a novella. It's 27,000 words. I don't want to talk too much about that one. But
how come you don't want to talk about it?
Well, it's not out yet.
Okay.
I could probably talk more about it than I could the guitar thing, only because when you're writing a book and you begin to talk about it before it's finished, you lose a certain tension. There's a certain tension that goes in the creative process that you have to maintain. This keep it between you and your own thoughts and between you and God. Mm-hmm. Because once you start telling, if I tell you everything, then that information belongs to you now. And then I have to trust that either you're going to keep it yourself or you're going to tell somebody else. Next thing you know, by the time the book comes out, it could be old hat. You know, so little cliches can pick up here. And my real productive life didn't really come, or creative life took a surge when I came to God, when I came into faith.
And you might not have sat there and said, okay, now I'm going to use my imagination for the glory of God. But that is exactly what you're doing. And I praise God for it. Thank you so much for
Thank you, Rose. I appreciate it.
We'll make two shows out of it.
Good, good.
Part one and part two.
Good.
I can only praise God for your gift. And
well, thank you.
I can hardly wait to read the books that we just barely touched
upon. Hopefully, there'll be two novels. At least one of them will be out this year, by the end of the year, hopefully. And some kind of a musical companion piece to go with this guitar book that I'm doing. Because the guitar, being that old, it went through different dispensations. It went through that Bob Dylan stage. It went through the Kingston Trio stage and the folk, the whole folk thing.
Yeah.
So,
God uses all kinds of metaphors.
Absolutely.
I mean, the Bible's just full of objects and stuff to connect.
That's another.
To
that's another whole.
Yes,
show. He
is.
Knows. He knows to speak. He
yes.
knew by giving me that guitar. He knew what I would be able to read in it. Like David, this sounds better. You're better. You have more seasoning. Like this wood is seasoned. You have more seasoning in you now. So many years later than you did as a newbie. You know, as a wannabe or whatever it was. You know. So that's a fascinating thing about God.
Thank you so much, David, for spending this time with us. I know it's a blessing to our listeners as well as to me. And I just have one last thing to say, and that is keep learning.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.